Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Amelia Buckley.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to help make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing the solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, real office-worthy, wherever you're working-worthy podcast. Today is Wednesday, the 19th of May, 2021.
Yay! It's Wednesday! Hump day,
Wednesday.
Right?
Well, yeah. We're halfway through the week, and I'm filling in on the pod today.
Yeah, Summer's had a little facial thing for skin cancer she had to get treated, so she can't smile, which makes her sound really weird, because
she's not her friendly-sounding self
on the podcast. Not her friendly smile self. You really can hear a smile over the radio.
Yes, you can.
Or the phone, or whatever you want to call this, the pod. Yeah, so how are you today, Amelia?
I'm good. We've had a lot of May gray here in Santa Barbara, but it's finally a little bit sunnier today. And I was telling you guys that I was in Dallas for a bachelorette party last weekend. It was my first time traveling really during the pandemic on an airplane at least. And I was fully vaccinated. So I got to go to Dallas and celebrate a good friend who's getting married this summer. It's lots of fun. I got to see Texas for the first time. I'm going to have to go back eventually to visit Summers in Austin, but Dallas was really cool. It was, you know, hot and humid, but it was a beautiful city. It's fun. It's a lot less busy than California, which I expected, but was still strange.
It's busy, less busy?
Yeah. Well, compared to Californian cities, you know,
okay.
We were walking around and the downtown area was just not as bustling. When you walk through San Francisco or LA, I feel like there's a million people around and it was just kind of quiet. And we went to a rooftop pool, which in California, you would never be able to go to a pool for free, let alone one that was privately run. And you go up to the top and it's like pool on a roof in the Dallas skyline. And there's like nobody else there. It was really interesting.
Well, I don't have any frame of reference for that, but I was downtown Los Angeles a few weeks ago when I had to take my friend to the doctor down there. And it was pretty quiet. I mean, nobody walks around in the big cities. In my experience, like Los Angeles, nobody walks. Here in Santa Barbara and Goleta, where I'm living, there's so much foot traffic and I love it. Mm-hmm. I love having a walkable community. So maybe it's just that coming from where we are in this middle sized town of Santa Barbara, Goleta, compared to massive cities like Dallas or Los Angeles.
It also rains a lot there. I think that was
pouring
rain on Sunday and it was the most rain that I've seen in a really long time.
Well, and it rains heavy. It's not like the gentle sprinkles we sometimes get in California.
Oh, no, it was a full downpour. Like each of the drops was like a tablespoon of water.
Well, the other day I was talking with Summers and she was in the middle of like a thunderstorm, lightning storm. And it was pretty intense in Austin. So they have bigger weather there, I guess, in Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Yes, as little California girls are overwhelmed by the massive weather and tornadoes that you might get.
There's a tornado warning on Sunday. My flight was delayed by an hour because we had a minor tornado warning.
Definitely.
But my story that I want to talk about today actually has to do with climate, not necessarily crazy weather, but more hot weather than rain.
Hot weather and cities, right?
And cities. Yeah, very timely. Mm-hmm. So the headline that I wanted to talk about today is how green facades can help cities mitigate the effects of climate change. So there are more than 970 cities in the world that are expected to experience average summertime temperatures of 35 degrees Celsius or 95 degrees Fahrenheit this summer. And this trend essentially is exacerbated in cities because of what is called
the heat island effect.
So basically cities trap heat from the sun during the day because they have so much built environment, and then they release that at night, which essentially makes cities 10 to 15 degrees hotter than surrounding areas that might be in the same climate region. So they get really hot and the lack of vegetation means that less of this heat gets absorbed, so it just kind of like festers. But fortunately, green facades can provide a solution to this. They are essentially, you plant greenery on the sides and tops of buildings, and it works to absorb sound and clean the air and absorb heat and provide shade. So you're essentially just increasing the green cover of your city without eliminating the buildings themselves.
So it's actually like planting like ivy type things, like that climb up the sides of the buildings, or just rooftop gardens?
Gardens, but they're also like, you can put almost like huge planter boxes that are more integrated with the building than regular planter boxes. And these do expand and grow kind of like ivy, but the plants are usually more varied than ivy because ivy doesn't offer a whole lot in terms of like ecological benefits. So these are trees that absorb more CO2 than ivy, like small trees and mosses and stuff like that.
So it's interesting. I know that we've written about this kind of a solution in different cities. I think there's one, there was a building in Madrid that had sort of was wrapped with greenery and other places around the world. And I think this is an interesting idea, and it brings that the nature into the city. And we've also written a lot about the health benefits of living near green and how planting trees in your neighborhood can promote mental health and also physical health. Part of that is by lowering the temperature surrounding you. But also there's that natural connection, which reduces anxiety and just helps us feel more like human beings.
And they're really beautiful. I mean, I've seen some of these. They're common in Paris, has a few of them, and they're really gorgeous. They're just like, if you've never seen one before, they're kind of shocking. You're like, oh wow, that's really, really beautiful. It's like a whole face of green.
It's like a whole new level of our houseplant obsession.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like the exterior version of that, like wrapping our houses with plants.
Yeah, and they're so, I would love to do it if I lived somewhere where I had control over the outside of my building and the money to spare for building landscaping.
Right.
But
when, especially when you're in an urban environment. And I mean, I know for me, when I was downtown Los Angeles, I felt so out of place because I'm not used to living in that kind of a setting. And if there had been more trees, and we're talking about massive boulevards with five lanes and just cars, and then the sidewalks, there are sidewalks, and unfortunately some of them have folks who are living in tents on them, which was hard to see and tragic. And then the air quality is full of smog from the cars going by and the noise. So if we had that softening effect of the green envelopes, that would be very attractive to me.
I would love it. Even here in Santa Barbara, I mean, we're not a big urban area, but it would be really beneficial. And it does get hot here in the summer sometimes, so it would be nice. Well, I'm thinking of, like, my sister lives in Davis, which is very close to Sacramento. And I complain about the heat here in Southern California, but there it's a whole nother level. Like, it's over 100 degrees every day there. So for cities like that are already predisposed to those high, really, really high temperatures, it would be very effective.
Well, and I think this is a solution that's about design and building and integrating key ideas into how we approach our urban spaces, right? And the story that I wanted to talk about also touches on design and building into even the way that we create different industries or create different products, what we're going to do with them on the end of their lives, right? And that's the whole circular economy idea. The headline that I wanted to focus on reads, "Top wind energy company develops fully recyclable blade technology." And this is super important to think about, because when we talk about renewable energy, we have to also consider the sort of ecological footprint of the technologies we're bringing into the world, whether it's a photovoltaic solar panel or a wind turbine. This article is focused on the wind turbine maker Vestas, which is, I think, one of the biggest wind energy companies in the world. But they are unveiling a new technology. They unveiled it on Monday, which enables wind turbine blades to be fully recycled, which can avoid the dumping of those old blades, and just because otherwise they'll end up in landfills or at the bottom of the ocean. And the turbine blades are set to account for about 43 million tons of waste by the year 2050, as the ones which are currently in use are deinstalled. And that's from a 2017 University of Cambridge study. And it'll go up as we install more wind energy. But most of those blades end up in landfills because they're hard to recycle. And they're hard to recycle because of the way they're constructed. This is part of the problem with current plastic. When we make plastic or a lot of things, they're not created with the idea that you want to disassemble them at the end. This is when you, mm-hmm. why, you know, most plastic recycling is so unsuccessful. It's really hard to, and it's built on an idea of melting it down, which is fine if you've got base metals, you know, if you're dealing with steel, which can be easily recycled, or tinfoil. But when you're dealing with plastics, which are a mix of glass and carbon fibers that are melted together, you can't take those things apart easily. And if you build them without the idea of what are you going to do with them when they're at the end of their useful life, you just end up with this massive blade that can't turn anymore. It's too unstable to continue to use the way that it was being used, but it's also not easy to reuse or find a new way to use it. So the new technology, it takes the glass and carbon fiber. It makes it more easy to separate from the resin using a chemical base. And that will, because you can separate into the base materials, they become similar to virgin materials that can be then used for construction of new blades. And this is kind of the same idea, the same concept that we were talking about with lithium ion batteries and the recycling of those kinds of technologies, where you can't just throw them into the landfills because they're full of toxic materials. But if you create them with the idea that you're going to disassemble them and then break them into the different component parts, all of those parts are very recyclable, but you have to be able to separate the parts out in an easy way. And that's what Vestas is doing. So mm-hmm. it's a project cooperation between Vestas and a chemical producer, Olin, which produces the resin for the wind turbine blades. And so I just like this because it's bringing this concept of circularity into industrial scale wind turbine technology. And it has applications for other potential technologies, other potential industries like airplane and car components, all of these things. But building that kind of circular economy into these big industries will be essential for getting us off of our wasteful kind of trash mentality, which
definitely. It reminds me of that story that we did about the, I think it was a brewery in Copenhagen that was an entire building that was constructed to be able to be taken apart and reused. Yeah. So all of the steel and the lumber and everything that was used could be disassembled if need be, if the building needed to be moved or something like that. Yeah. Which it's just really about shifting our entire mentality from, I think the first wave of renewable energy was emissions are bad. We need to figure out a way to eliminate those. So we're going to throw together solutions like solar and wind to reverse that. And now we're kind of in this second wave of, and then what do we do with the waste that comes from these? You know, they're better than combustion engines, but they're not perfect. So how do we perfect this system where we're creating renewable energy, but we're also not dumping toxic metals and old batteries into landfills?
Right. And if you think about it, like internal combustion engines or burning fossil fuels, the waste product just goes into the atmosphere. And it, we don't think about it as waste, but it is. And it's polluting our air. And that's what's leading to climate change. So we have to think about that as we develop these new industries and figure out how at the end of the life cycle of the technologies or the products that we're building, what do you do with them so they don't just become toxic in our landfills or toxic in our atmosphere? And how can we create more of that closed loop kind of circular use? And that's what this is putting out. So that was my article. What else is on the headlines today?
We've got kind of a lot of climate-oriented stories today. We've got art installation displays the consequences of climate change in New York City. So that one's an interesting art exhibit that's raising awareness about climate change. We've got fiber optics enable scientists to accurately track changes in ice sheets. So you can't solve a problem you don't understand, and that one is helping with that. Regenerative agriculture makes this hoodie 100% carbon negative. It's an exciting one talking about sustainable wool, similar to Allbirds, a company that's on the same track. What else?
Harvard researchers have uncovered a breakthrough in lithium metal battery efficiency, and that could add to lowering the ecological footprint and longer life use of lithium ion batteries. And that's an interesting advance. Degree Inclusive is the first deodorant designed for people with disabilities. This is a way of using deodorant with an inclusion idea there. If you need a break from HIIT, which is high impact intensity workouts, here's some ways that jogging can benefit your health, which is a lower intensity type of workout. A dairy farm is turning its manure into biodegradable pots and packaging. And an opera house is leading by example in sustainability movement. So those are some headlines on today's Optimist Daily. Go to optimistdaily.com, check those out. There's more on there too, besides just today's headlines. And that is it for today's Optimist Daily Update. Thank you everybody for listening. We promise to continue to share these positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in a changing world, help ensure it is changed for the good. And we promise to keep covering current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offering you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please, if you're not already, consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. And be part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening today. I'm going to be back tomorrow while Summers makes a recovery, and she will be back with us on Friday.
Wonderful. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.